Hi, it's Melanie again, and welcome to episode 4 of my podcast, Cross Stitch, Colour and Wellness. As the title says, my podcast covers cross stitch, colour and wellness, and so far I'm recording my episodes as they come to me, as I get inspired, and I'm going with the flow. And I'm aware that it's been a lot about wellness rather than cross stitch, but don't worry, that will come and everything will take its place. So today I'm going to talk about my personal journey again and some of the lessons that I've learned about life and about myself that have led to my awareness and wellness and where I am today. Today's topic is more specifically about mindset and the power of the brain, of the human brain. I've said it before, but I'm convinced that you are capable to do anything you want to achieve your goals in life. You have everything you need, and most of it happens in your brain. So I've got a funny story to prove that this is true, and this is exactly what happened to me. So, to set the story, as you all know, if you've listened to my first 3 podcasts, I grew up in the UK and went to school there. I did all my schooling there and qualified as a teacher and moved to France in 1996 so that I could be with my boyfriend, French boyfriend, Gilles. But in fact, I've known him for much longer than that. We met on the beach, funnily enough, in the south of France in 1991. We were both 21 years old. The summer was hot, but it wasn't love at first sight. In fact, it was the first man I had ever met that I didn't really feel attracted to, which is weird, but anyway. As the weeks went on during the summer, he grew on me and he made me laugh so much that after 3 weeks of being part of his group of friends, I realised that there was much more to this man than I thought, and the relationship started and it began a sweet sort of holiday romance. And I didn't think it would last. It led to a fantastic wedding, 2 kids, and we're still going strong today. But it wasn't always that easy. We loved each other for sure, but lived in 2 different countries. We were still students, and we didn't know how things would develop along the line. On top of that, I was a strong-willed English scorpion, and deep down very jealous and not very trusting, which is something that I've worked on since. But I had no reason to be jealous at all, of course, but you know, that's the kind of thing when you live apart, it sort of plagues you a little bit. We were both students, as I said, and so we had to carry on as we were. There was nothing we could do to be together. It was impossible to begin with. So we had a lot of letters. We wore out lots of a couple of postmen who delivered our loads of daily letters and consumed phone cards in the local phone box, which I don't even want to know how much I spent on that. But anyway, yeah, but don't laugh either, because it's not funny. Mobiles weren't around then. They were maybe just starting off. Nobody had them. It wasn't like today. So you did have to go to the local phone box to have a bit of privacy. And that was our way of keeping in contact, because we couldn't be together without having a job and we didn't have anywhere to stay. So that's when I sort of realised that I'd have to retrain and become an English teacher so that I would be able to work in France, live with Jean, and be able to earn a wage. And that was my plan. And as you know, I did that and it worked. And I got my first teaching post in Dijon. Okay, so that in Dijon, it was in the town centre, the old town centre. I lived in a minute flat at the top of a building under the eaves. It was a lovely little flat, but tiny, tiny, tiny. And Gilles was unemployed. He'd finished his studies and was unemployed and spent his time going backwards and forwards from Dijon to Perpignan during that year, trying to find a job. And one day we were sitting at the table, and out of the blue, he suddenly announced that he didn't want to get married or have kids. Oh. And my life sort of caved in at that precise moment, that I suddenly realised that what I wanted, what was naturally the next thing on our list, wasn't going to happen. So when my contract ended, we left Dijon, travelled back down to the south and announced our separation. And she left me there with my family, and took his mum up to see his brother, who lives near Dijon, who lived at the time in Troyes. So, as I said, my parents were on holiday near Perpignan, and they suggested I go back to the UK with them in their car. So, okay, I reluctantly did that and was thoroughly miserable. And on the way home to England, we stopped overnight in Dijon, near Dijon, with some friends at a friend's house of my parents. And the next day we set off the last part of the journey. As we approached Troyes on the motorway, I just kept thinking about Gilles so hard, that he was the one for me, and that I couldn't leave, and it was impossible, and I started panicking, and my heart was beating so hard, and I was saying to myself internally, I don't want to leave, I want to see him again, this can't be the end. That I didn't hear my dad at first. And then I heard the onboard computer of the car saying, stop the car immediately. And my dad effing and blinding, looking in the rear view mirror and exclaiming that there's thick black smoke coming out of the car. And it was all panic stations aboard. And so we pulled off the motorway into a garage stop, and the car just died. I was in the front of the car, so I get travel sickness. So I was in the front, and my mum was in the back with my little sister. And I'll never forget the expression on her face when I turned around to look at her. She just knew that I'd done this, that I jinxed the car in order to see Gilles again. It was so funny. It's sort of a personal, I mean, we understood each other, right? We didn't say anything, but we just knew. She knew, I knew. It was like, oh my God. Anyway, so I phoned Gilles and told him what we'd done, what had happened, and that we'd broken down, and that we were stuck on the motorway, and he arrived with his brother to save us, basically. And guess what? I didn't go back to England that day. I stayed with Gilles and we got back together. My parents had to hire a car to go home because the engine was completely broken. And from then on, I got the nickname of White Witch. And to be honest, even till today, people are quite scared of my superpowers. So, why have I told you this story in such detail? To amuse you, of course, but also to show you what you can achieve with a solid mindset and know exactly what you want to do. If I hadn't been so sure of what I wanted or positive in my mindset, who knows what would have happened? I most probably would not be here where I am now. I wouldn't have had Thomas and Lily for sure, because I wouldn't be with Gilles anymore. And Tom and Lily Creations wouldn't exist. I think my days of an embroidery designer, definitely in France, would not have happened. I would have been in England, probably teaching again, I think, and probably thoroughly miserable. So that's brings me to the end of the story, and hopefully brings me to the beginning of a new story for you. Maybe you feel stuck, maybe you're hesitant to change jobs, or you're scared of what you're being called to do. Maybe you've got a secret goal, a wish, a dream that you desperately want to do, and that you've convinced yourself that you don't deserve it, or you're not qualified, or you're not worthy of it. And you have and your mind, your brain is telling you can't do it. Your mindset is negative, and basically you're sabotaging any chances you have to succeed. So please take it from me, stop and make that shift that's necessary for you to change those negative thoughts to positive ones. And just by doing that and shifting and becoming positive and believing in yourself, little by little, step by step, you will achieve your goals. It won't happen overnight. It will take time, but it will happen. It will happen. So thanks for listening to me going on and on again, as usual. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Please reach out and let me know what you thought. I'd love to have your feedback and encouragements, and even some ideas of what you'd like me to talk about on future episodes. That'd be cool. I'll be back soon with a new episode. Until then, I wish you some great stitching time, full of colour and light.